In today's episode, we're talking all about what it means to live your life in alignment and why I named this podcast It's All Made Up Anyway. What I want you to get out of this core belief and principle that I live my life around, because so many of us are allowing these beliefs and mindsets and societal expectations and parental expectations limit us and limit what we see as possible in our lives or what we see as possible for ourselves. And so we're shutting the door on things that could be making us a lot happier and a lot more fulfilled because of some shit that was all made up anyway? What? No, not on my watch. But before I get into that, this episode is brought to you by my business coaching. Yes, I'm focusing on just my business coaching in today's little promo. So my one-on-one business coaching is all about learning how to be a better boss of you. It's no secret that most of us get into business for ourselves because we want to work for ourselves. We don't want to work for someone else. We want to help people. And we want to have unlimited potential on our income. The problem is we get into this and we don't know how to manage ourselves. No one ever taught us how to be a boss of ourselves. And we end up creating a business that either burns us out or it just doesn't feel as fulfilling as we thought it would, even if we're hitting those success markers that we're told to hit to live that happy, free, fulfilled life. So what do? We turn to business coaches and we look for answers and we get a bunch of different answers that all contradict with each other. And it still doesn't feel good, or it doesn't work in the way that we thought it would. If you are feeling this way in your business, like you're just not getting to the place that you want to be, and you didn't set your business up in a way that feels like it's aligned with what you actually want and with your energy and with your focus and with your ability to manage yourself, or maybe you don't even know how to manage yourself, and you want a business model that feels sustainable, joyful, easier than it does right now, and it feels impactful for the people that you're trying to help, then my one-on-one business coaching may be the answer for you. Together, we will work on all sorts of things like unlearning the patterns that get in the way of your success, your joy in your business, and your day-to-day energy, like people-pleasing, overworking, poor boundaries, constantly pivoting, shiny object syndrome, that's a big one with ADHD, money scarcity, self-doubt, you name it, we can focus on it. Overhauling your business strategies so that we can take what is currently working in your business, what is currently making you money, and amplify it to cut out the things that are not working for you. We'll work on establishing consistent self-care routines and productivity habits, refining your messaging and showing up confidently online, and then unpack any limitations and beliefs that are coming up around your business or showing up in the way that you make decisions so that you can feel like a business owner that is in charge and really clear on what your vision is going forward, so that every decision that you're making feels like it's coming from a place of internal power and it is aligned with what you want for your life. If you are interested in joining my one-on-one business coaching program, you can go to WhitneyCatalano.com/coaching. It's WhitneyCatalano.com/coaching to learn more and apply. You can also DM me on Instagram at Whitney Catalano and we can talk more about it and hop on a free clarity call to see if we're a good fit. All right, let's get into it.
We get stuck working a 9-to-5. Just 'cause you're breathing don't mean you're alive. Do what you love, time is slipping away, and you could do anything 'cause it's all made up anyway.
Welcome to It's All Made Up Anyway, the podcast where anything is possible, the rules are made up, and the points don't matter. I'm Whitney Catalano, a self-sabotage, accountability, business, and alignment coach for coaches, creatives, ADHDers, and multi-passionates. I'm here to help you heal your shit, master your habits, create a life that actually lights you up, and finally get out of your own way so you can bring your biggest goals to life without sacrificing the things that truly matter. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. So this episode is probably going to be short and sweet, although every time I say that, I end up talking to no end. So I can't make any promises, but I'd like to think that this episode is going to be short and sweet because I have a lot of like really good episodes coming out, but I figured that I needed to set the premise for what this podcast is all about and tap into the desires that I know a lot of you have to live a life that feels so much more fulfilling and enlivening than it does right now. Is that a word? We're going to go with it. So let's talk about it. This was inspired for two reasons. Obviously, this is the name of the podcast. It's all made up anyway. So I want to explain what that means, how I came to that name, and how I want you to think about this in your life, because I think that this mindset shift can be extremely powerful if you let it be. And it's something that has made my life so much richer, even when I'm not financially richer, right? Like when I say richer, what I mean is that it just gives my life so much more depth and it gives me so much more freedom to think really big about what's possible, even when fear is coming in the way or even when my external circumstances aren't matching the things that I want for myself. So when I say that it's all made up anyway, I literally mean that every single thing in our life, in this world, is made up by someone. Everything. Because every single thing that is created or manifested into the physical environment had to start with conscious thought, including and especially the societal rules of when you should get married and when you should have kids and when you should be getting a job and how much money you should be making at your job and all of the things that you learn growing up. I think the quickest way to figure out that everything is all made up is by comparing the stories and the beliefs that you were raised with to someone who was raised completely differently from you or in a different environment from you. And you quickly realize like, oh, all of this is arbitrary, but it doesn't feel arbitrary, right? It doesn't feel silly or made up. It feels really serious because a lot of us grow up in environments where if you don't follow what is expected of you, if you don't, you know, go through all the steps and get into your safe heterosexual marriage and relationship with someone of a good status and da da da, you know, whatever the rules are that you're brought up with, if you don't follow those things, you risk being ostracized by your community. And that's how communities keep such a stronghold and a power dynamic. That's how a lot of religious communities keep such a stronghold and a power dynamic that really has the potential to do a lot of harm when it does not let the people within that community think differently. Now, I am not here to bash religions or bash people's beliefs by any means, nor did I even think I was going to bring up religion, but here we are. But I think there's a really big difference between the things that you believe to be true and the religious preferences you have, and then the things that you project onto others. The rules and the limitations and the judgments and shame and, you know, you're going to hell if you do this, this, and that. It's those are two different things. I think those are two different conversations entirely. So we have to look at this stuff. And I think it's important to bring up because of how much here in the US, our government and our society is built around Christian ideals and how much religion has actually influenced our government and our society, even if people like to pretend that we still have a separation of church and state, which we don't. Even in a lesser degree, in a more subtle example, living in LA, for me, I look around at the money some of my friends are making or the lifestyles that they're living. I'm going to talk about this more in the debt episode, but I look around at the culture of materialism that exists in LA. And how there are a lot of people literally putting themselves, including me, a past version of me, literally putting themselves into debt in order to keep up with appearances because you're scared of what the people in your community are going to think about you. And at the end of the day, a lot of us are extremely invested in our social status. Even if you don't think that you're a social climber, right? Even if you weren't the popular kid in school, you weren't the kid who, you know, you see yourself as being invested in social status, chances are there's a part of you that is concerned with social status because of what it might mean for you. And by social status, I mean you're concerned about what your family's going to think about you. You're concerned about what your friends are going to think about you. You're concerned about what people in line are going to think of you, because if you lose how people see you, if you let go of control of how people see you, then you risk rejection and being ostracized. And that doesn't feel good for anyone. Like, seriously, who wants that? Who wants to be rejected by the people they love? So it's not a bad thing. I don't say that you care about social status or that you likely care about social status if from a judgmental or critical lens. I say it from a really compassionate lens, and one that I think a lot of us humans really need to own up to, that yeah, we give a shit. We give a shit what people think about us. Because we don't want to be alone, because humans crave connection. It is also hardwired into our brains to be protected by our community. Because when we're children, who is responsible for feeding us and keeping us alive? Our community, our parents. That sticks with us, that hardwiring. Even if you're the only one responsible for keeping yourself alive now, which I'm sure most of you listening to this are, it is hardwired into you to be protected by your community and to do what you need to do to be accepted by the in-group. This is like sociology 101. We learned about in-groups and out-groups like junior year of high school when I took sociology. Human beings are also hardwired to see an us versus them. We're also repeatedly sold this idea that we can control how people see us. If you look a certain way, if you buy a certain thing, if you have a certain job or a certain social status or a certain type of marriage or whatever, you can control how people perceive you. And while I do think an argument can be made that we can control how people see us, especially the people that we love, because we know what they value and we can predict how they might treat us based on how they treat other people, what we fail to realize is that we never really know how other people perceive us. We only know our interpretation of how people treat us that gives us some insight on how they see us. But if you've been living in a box of how other people see you your whole life, then chances are you've had an experience where you're interacting with someone that you love and something happens and you find out pretty quickly, like, oh, does this person have no idea who I actually am or what I care about? And part of that's on you, right? Part of that's on you because you're not living in a way that's so authentic that the people around you are aware of who you are. And a huge part of that is always going to be out of your control because you cannot control the way people see you. That's just how it is. And as a former people pleaser who attracts a lot of people pleasers into my audience, I know that is probably the hardest pill for a lot of you to swallow, that we cannot truly control the way that other people see us. And you can go above and beyond to be palatable to other people, to say the right thing, to do the right thing, and still someone will take you wrong, and still someone will make a judgment about you that's incorrect. And that's just how it's always going to be. But even if we can, right? Even if we could control how people see us, and we can make the argument that you are keeping yourself safe by doing and acting and being a certain way, because that's why a lot of people stay repressed or in the closet or hidden, right? Out of literal safety. This is like a genuine safety issue. But even if it's not a genuine safety issue, it's just I don't want to be judged and rejected by my family. My question is this really how we want to be living our lives? Do you want to be living in a way that prioritizes and tries to control how other people see you above all else? Or do you want to live in a way that makes you proud of you and that makes you feel alive and inspired and authentic and puts you in a position to be accepted and loved by people who love the real you and not the image that you have portrayed for however many years in an effort to be accepted by people who may never fully accept you because of their own shit, not yours? Trusting that your relationships can withstand, at least the ones that matter, right? That these relationships can withstand you actually being yourself. I think it's also worth considering that the beliefs that we're raised with that keep us in this box, these beliefs that are perpetuated by our society to keep people in line and following the rules, quote unquote, are worth questioning for the simple fact that these things that are made up have real harmful consequences on all of us, every single one of us. It doesn't matter who you are, some more than others for sure, because that's where this conversation of privilege comes in. These beliefs that keep us in this box are harming all of us And the more people that are willing to question these societal expectations and standards, the more we're able to unravel all of this and create a safer environment for the people who are actually at risk of harm if they are themselves. Now, here's what's tricky about pushing the things that you believe. Your beliefs are tied to your identity, the I am. And it is extremely, extremely hard to get someone, anyone, including yourself, to question beliefs that are tied to your identity of who you see yourself as, who you believe you are. A really good example that I can think of, a personal example that I want to share, is how I related to my ADHD diagnosis, because that was a really tricky one and has really opened my eyes to the ways that I can let things like diagnoses dictate and limit my life. So for context, I was diagnosed when I was way younger, but I learned a lot more about my particular type of ADHD from TikTok in the past few years, and then, you know, doing further research and just learning more about it. And one of the things that I kept catching myself saying was, oh, I have ADHD, so I can't. Not my ADHD makes it particularly challenging for me to do this thing. Not, oh, I really struggle with these things, or I would say those things, right? But I have ADHD, so I can't. And that was really eye-opening, because I had a coach finally say something to me. He was like, Whitney, I get it. I have ADHD too. I understand what it's like to over-identify and feel like you can't do something, but is that really serving you? And honestly, I was pretty annoyed when he first said that, because I was like, you don't even know. I mean, he literally does know. And I still was like, you don't know what you're talking about. But he was right. Was it really serving me to say I can't do all these things? And I'm going to talk about it more on the Adderall episode, but like, that was a really big reason why I had such a hard time getting off of Adderall, because I had convinced myself that I could not be without it. I could not run my business without it. I could not work without it. It was this learned helplessness, because I was prescribed Adderall at a time in my life when I really, really needed it to be able to like literally function. But I was not that person anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I've done a lot of work on myself, and I've set my life and my business up in a way that's really conducive for my brain. So in order for me to actually be able to stop taking Adderall and build my business the way that I wanted to, and also see a world in which I could run my business from a really joyful place that didn't demand so much of me that it burned me out, I had to let go of the identity of I have ADHD, so I can't. And I had to learn how to use much more specific language to describe what I was experiencing in order to be able to workshop it, basically, and to come up with solutions for myself that were specific to my needs. Because that's really the goal here. It's not to limit ourselves. It's to say, okay, I have these really specific needs. Now, what am I going to do about it? I think we need to be really careful about what we apply the words I can't to in our lives, because it's really easy to hide behind I can't in so many areas that get in the way of our joy and happiness and are actually really workable. Now, let's apply this to some more general examples that will be applicable to a lot more people. Maybe it's a career path that you want to go down, but you're scared of what people will think because it's a little more of a risque career path, or because it's scary and it's literally risky, you know, because you're starting a business, or because you have an idea that you really in your soul believe will work, but you don't know what other people are going to think of you, or you know that your parents are going to come in and try to stop you and say, that's unrealistic, just get a stable job, just do this, just do that. Maybe you want to be an artist or a creator, or you want to be an influencer, or you want to be a singer, or whatever it is, but you're scared of what people will think when you put yourself out there. maybe you're like me and you have beliefs about your self-discipline or your consistency or your work ethic or your quote unquote laziness. I hear this all the time. I'm so lazy. Because you grew up in a household where these judgments were projected onto you by parents who judge themselves even more harshly and just don't have other language. But then you grew up in this environment where you're really internalizing these things about yourself that are not even necessarily true. And so then you look at what you want in your life and you're like, well, I could never do that because I'm not the type of person who can. That was a big one for me of looking around at other successful people in the coaching industry and being like, well, they clearly have something that I don't have. They're clearly better than me or more capable than me in some way that I can't identify and that I will never be able to have myself, which is just not true. We're all just as capable and we're all equal. They've just put in more time than me and they didn't quit. And maybe the beliefs are around money. Oh, I can't do this because I'm not going to make the money that I need to make to pay my bills. I can't do this because this career path doesn't pay well. I can't do this because my family is depending on me. And what if I fail? I can't do this because I don't know how to manage myself. You know, back to my promo for my one-on-one business coaching. I can't do this because I can't possibly manage myself. All of these things are beliefs that I hear constantly. So the thing that I want you to ask yourself when you feel these beliefs coming up is, can I prove without a shadow of a doubt that this belief is true? I think the making money in a certain career path is a really helpful example here. When someone tells me, oh, I can't make money doing the thing that I love, my first question is, how do you know? How do you know that that's true? Have you seen the way that people are making money on the internet? Like, that is part of what I'm trying to accomplish with this podcast, is exposing you to the ways that people are making ridiculous money on the internet that you had no idea you could make money that way. I had no idea that you could make money some of the ways that people are making money. And I think the more exposure you have to that stuff, the better off you are, because it opens your mind to looking for examples in the world around you that your beliefs that you're holding true and you're letting get in the way are maybe not as true as you think they are. But again, that's really scary. It's really scary to admit that maybe it is possible for me to do the thing that I want to do, but that means I have to put myself in a really vulnerable position to actually do it. Oh no. So these are just things to think about, like how deep these beliefs and fears run and how much they might be getting in the way of you living a life that you're dreaming about every single day. Because coming from someone who still dreams about more, I know how consuming it is to be thinking about it all the time and wondering, what's it going to take for me to just go do the thing? Like the number of times I've wanted to pick up and move to Australia, but I have come up with reasons why I cannot do that. And I've been asking myself recently, like, what is actually stopping me besides my cat? But my cat can stay with my mom for a little. I wouldn't move forever, you know? So these are the things I want you to think about. Can you prove without a shadow of a doubt that it's true that the thing that you believe is true is not possible, right? That the thing is not possible, that you can't do it. Can you prove without a shadow of a doubt? Because if you're 100% certain that it's not possible, then who am I to tell you otherwise? But if there's even a sliver of doubt, if you even have the tiniest bit of an inclination that maybe it is possible, isn't that worth exploring? Isn't that worth interrogating that belief and saying, what's my motivation then for holding onto a belief that I can't even prove is true? So instead of I can't, I would much rather you tell me I don't want to. Seriously. I would much rather you tell me I don't want to. Or I'm too afraid, because at least that's honest and it makes sense. It's really scary. The minute you say I can't, it's over, right? There is no opportunity for solutions there. And isn't that nice and safe for us to just hide in the I can't? It's so safe. It's so easy. It's not easy. It's painful. It's extremely painful. I had a coach years ago, and I think I said this in my old podcast episodes, but I had a coach years ago say, I want you to consider, is your comfort zone really that comfortable? It's not. It's terrible. It's terrible. But it's safe because it's familiar and because nothing has to change. So in order to set ourselves up for being able to have effective change in our lives, we need to start with the language that we're using to describe ourselves and to describe why something may or may not be a good option for you. So let's talk about alignment then, because that's kind of the whole point. One of the reasons why I want to talk about alignment is and define it is because I had someone message me who is autistic, and they basically said, Whitney, you and these other coaches are using all this like really ethereal language, and I don't understand what the hell you're talking about. And I was like, that's so fucking helpful. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that, because you're right. You're so right. I can understand why you're like, what the hell is alignment? Because the way that I want to describe alignment, my instinct to describe alignment is like, you just feel like it, just the vibes, which is kind of a running joke with me and my friends. Like, it's just vibes. Okay, man, like it's vibes. The way that I see it is that being successful in something always requires hard work, right? But there's challenging and then there's hard. There's time consuming and there's hard. When you are in misalignment, typically what is happening is there is some part of your soul that is screaming out, this isn't right. This isn't right. Please change me. Please do something. No, this isn't right. This job, this relationship, this whatever isn't right. And if there's something in your life that's misaligned, I know you just thought of something. I know you did. And you're like, shut up, Whitney. That's the thing. That's the voice. That's the voice inside of you that's telling you that it's misaligned. I'm not saying you have to do anything about it right this second. I know how scary it is and how scary change is just in general. But I'm just saying that's the voice. And when you're doing something every single day, whether showing up to a job or a relationship or whatever, every single day that you know is not meant for you, you know does not feel right and does not make you happy in the way that you want it to, you will probably feel exhausted for no reason. You could be doing all the things to take care of yourself. You will feel exhausted. Being misaligned will literally manifest in your physical body as stress, as illness, as injury, pain. ADHD is a great example here because we cannot focus on things that we don't care about. So it manifests in your ADHD symptoms and how prevalent they are. It can make your depression worse and your anxiety worse because you're sticking something out that is not what you actually want, because you're not being honest with yourself about what you actually want. You're not being honest with yourself about what you actually want, and you're going to physically feel the effects of that. When you are aligned, things feel a lot easier. And it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. There will still be challenging work. There still will be time-consuming work, but it will feel easier because you'll be excited to be moving towards it. You will be all in. Being misaligned feels like you have one foot out the door, but you're stuck. You're tolerating it. I had a coach one time tell me, at any given moment, we are either accepting or tolerating, or we're rejecting our circumstances. But the problem is that most people are both rejecting and tolerating. And that is why it's so fucking painful, because we're sitting there and we're thinking, this is not what I want, but I'm unwilling to do anything to change it. I'm unwilling to leave this person who is not what I want, who is not giving me what I need, because I'm scared, because I could come up with a million reasons why they're good enough, they're fine, you know, because it's hard to leave someone you love. Like it is, it's just really hard. And you're miserable. Or maybe you're not miserable enough to make a difference, right? But you know that there's better out there. You know that there's more out there for you. And so you're just sticking it out. And you're accepting and rejecting it all at the same time, which is absolutely exhausting. It requires so much energy to do that. Way more energy than fully accepting something. Alignment is total acceptance. It's total presence. Because some part of you is not trying to escape 24/7. Now, what happens if we are in a job, for example, that is not aligned but we can't do anything to change it right now. You make a plan and then you accept that it is what it is for right now. The biggest reason why you're drained by this situation is because you have not made a plan. You've not made an exit plan. So you feel stuck in it and you're simultaneously accepting and rejecting it. When you make a plan to get out, you can put the rejection of your experience down and just fully accept it for what it is and also accept that you're finding a way out. And that's going to be a lot easier. That's actually much more aligned. You're in the same job, but it's much more aligned. So alignment has to start in your head. It has to start mentally and emotionally and internally inside of you before it becomes externalized. Alignment also happens in baby steps. And this was a really big question that I got from people in my DMs when I was talking a lot about alignment over the past year on my Instagram. I got a lot of people in my DMs being like, hey, when you say alignment, do you mean that like I've got to change my whole life overnight? I'm like, no, don't worry. No. You don't have to change your whole life overnight. It happens in baby steps. It happens in small shifts. I mean, if you haven't listened to my first episode, go back and listen to it because you'll hear I did change my life overnight and a lot of my alignment happened in small steps. Like I had to rebuild this business in small steps to work for my brain and my body because having a business was still aligned, but the way that I was going about business wasn't. So alignment can mean really big changes. Like I'm in the total wrong industry. I'm in the total wrong field. I hate my boss. I hate this. I hate that. Or it can mean really small changes like I fucking love what I do, but the management at my current workplace sucks. They micromanage me. They're terrible. So I just need to find a different route of getting managed. Sometimes alignment is I really like the relationship that I'm in. I really like the person that I'm with, but there are certain things that are really not working for me. And I'm too scared to say anything. And so in order for this to work for me, I need to change. Even if I think that they are the problem, I need to be the one that changes because I cannot control whether or not they change. All I can do is control me. So I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to get the help that I need to be able to vocalize what I need from the relationship. And I also need to stop accepting and rejecting this all at the same time and either accept it or reject it, but pick one. And the things that are happening within the relationship that you reject, either you work on it, they work on it, or both of you work on it, right? But like, pick one. Stop staying in indecision. Because that is the most uncomfortable place to be, even though it feels the safest, because it doesn't come with any risk, except, oh, I don't know, your own happiness and health and well-being. When we talk about alignment in the context of beliefs, and it all being made up anyway, what I want you to remember is that you may go to your parents and say, hey, I want to do this thing that is totally different from what I'm currently doing. And they may put all the beliefs on you, right? Like, but you got a degree in that thing. You invested so much time. You invested so much this, this, and that. So it's not like all of that stuff was a waste. Like you got a lot out of that time and money and whatever experience that you invested into that one path, and now you want to do something different. So go do something different. Living in alignment really involves getting super honest with yourself and being willing to follow that honesty instead of staying in indecision. And it can happen in big ways and it can happen in small ways. It also requires a ton of self-awareness of saying, okay, so, you know, back to the example of having a chronic illness, if you want to work for yourself or whatever, you can say, I'm self-aware enough to know that I can't work 8 hours a day. I cannot sit at a screen for 8 hours a day. So I need to have a job that allows me to break up my work and allows me to maybe work on my own schedule or to work from home because I need to have certain things in place in order to take care of myself. Or I need to work for someone who just gets it, right? Someone who is willing to make accommodations where there's more of a collaborative environment instead of a very individualistic environment where a lot of the responsibility is on you. And if you can't show up one day or you just don't have the energy or whatever, then it falls through the cracks, right? you maybe need to prioritize a work environment where you have a really strong team of people and they're really understanding of what might be going on. So this is what I mean by solutions. And this is what I mean by being really specific about your language and also questioning your beliefs about what's possible. Because I think the number one thing that people will then come back with is, but that doesn't exist. I strongly disagree. But you've got to get a little more creative to find it. I've had a lot of people tell me it's not possible to run a really successful business without working, you know, a lot of hours. It's not possible to run a really successful coaching business without burnout or whatever people say, you know? And I was like, I'm not going to listen to that. I am going to figure out a way to build my business for my brain, my body, my energy, and my attention span, because I don't want to have to take Adderall anymore to just get through my business. And I also don't want to be limited by the structures that I had set in place in my old business that limited me so much. So I said, okay, what do I need? I'm self-aware enough to understand what I need and how can I build it around my needs as opposed to forcing my needs to fit into what I'm doing. Alignment is also looking at the intersection between what you're good at, what you love, making sure your basic needs are met, and also contributing to the world in a meaningful way according to your values and your motivation. So sometimes the thing that people are missing is like having a hobby. They don't need to change their career. They just want hobbies that feel really fulfilling and maybe contribute to the world in a meaningful way. But because we live in such a capitalistic society, all the messaging is that like you have to turn all of your hobbies and all of your passions into a side hustle. So maybe what you need is just a job that pays well enough and doesn't have a lot of stress so that you can go home at the end of the day and actually engage in your hobbies. And then you need to work on, you know, making those hobbies sustainable for yourself in terms of your habits and motivation, things like that. Or maybe you feel like in order to be fulfilled by your job, you really need to be appreciated for the skills that you have to offer. And your job right now doesn't do that, even though you like the field, you just don't feel appreciated in the way that you want to feel appreciated. So of course, I would say start with making sure that you're appreciating yourself. And also, there may be another company or another manager, whoever, that is going to be more aligned with the style that you like and offers the feedback that you need. Or maybe you really, really, really want to help people. This is one I see all the time. You really want to help people. But the way that you were taught to do that, you know, working in nonprofits, working in really fast-paced medical fields, working in, you know, education or outpatient centers or whatever it is absolutely draining you and burning you out, because helper, healer burnout is super real and super common. And so you need to find an intersection where you're still helping people and you're still feeling mission-driven, but it's not at the expense of your well-being. At least for now, maybe what you also need is to do something that has nothing to do with helping people while you help yourself. This is a piece of advice that I give a lot of people, is like so many of us helpers come out of college and the first thing that we do is get the most emotionally intensive job we could possibly find that gives back to a community in some way. But we still have all of our own trauma and wounding that's coming up, and it's just getting activated over and over and over again. And it's absolutely draining and horrible. And so something that I'll say is like, maybe you need to take a break from helping other people while you help yourself and then come back around to this kind of industry, because you can't pour from an empty cup. That's just not feasible. So these are some more tangible ways to describe alignment that I hope are making sense and resonating with you on some level. It's the path of least resistance. It's finding what feels like a fuck yes in your body so that you're all in and you're all accepting and moving towards that thing and getting the help you need to do that if you need the help, because it is really scary. Like, I'm not going to downplay how scary it is to make a big change in your life, but it happens in baby steps. And I know that you know what you want. And I know that even if you're not super clear, right? I know that you generally know what you want because you're thinking about it. You've been thinking about it this whole episode. And I know that you probably have a pretty good idea of what's getting in the way, even if you haven't put words to it yet, which is what I do in my clarity calls, by the way. help you put words to it. And I know that it can feel really far away between where you are now and what you actually want, but that's okay. That is okay if it feels really far away. By the way, if you're like, no, Whitney, I actually don't know, and I feel really stuck and I feel really confused about what I want, but you're not in a position to do my one-on-one life coaching, I do have a new client one-off call special in the link in my bio. So if you go to my Instagram at Whitney Catalano and go to the link in my bio, you can book a single call and we'll just dive into it. And I will literally sit there and help you put words to what exactly is wrong and what you want, because that is what I'm really good at, so that you walk away with that clarity and can make that plan to either accept or reject or get out of a situation that you're currently in or pivot or do whatever you need to do, right? So that is an option for you as well. Just wanted to plug that in case that is something you're looking for. And remember, you can do whatever the fuck you want because it's all made up. Yes, please maintain integrity and ethics along the way. But it is all made up. All of these beliefs that are holding you back, all of these identities that are holding you back, all of these, what are people going to think of me that are holding you back? It's all fake. All of it's fake. So what do you want your life to look like? When you're 80 years old, what do you want to look back and see from your life? I know for me, I don't want to see myself sitting at a desk 40 hours a week for 40 or 50 years, especially not working for someone else because I never went for the thing that I really wanted to go for. Lord, no. I want to see that I traveled the world. I want to see that I had really amazing friendships. I want to see that I did really scary things like built a business and started a podcast and put myself out online. I want to see that I really held myself to the goals that I set for myself. And I want to see that I lived even bigger than I'm living right now. You know, that I accomplished the things that I wanted to accomplish. Yes, but I also like had a lot of fun along the way. And I didn't take my life so seriously. That's what I want to see. So if you see me pick up and move to another country, that's what's happening. It's all made up. So I'm just making it up. I'm just making it up. So I want you to let me know. You can DM me. You can comment on my posts. You can, I think on Spotify, there's a little question box thing, place that you can interact. What do you want to see from your life if you look back at 80? And what kind of beliefs do you want to hold about what's possible? Because I want to hear from you. Okay, that's it. That's the episode. I love ya. I'll talk to you soon. If you've been loving the podcast and want to support me, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts so I can reach more people. Even if you're listening on Spotify, it would really help me to specifically get reviews on Apple Podcasts and share it with your friends. And if you are ready to experience the transformation that coaching has to offer, you can work one-on-one with me for business and life coaching and learn more at WhitneyCatalano.com/coaching. That's WhitneyCatalano.com/coaching. Or you can join my membership site, the Creator Co-op, at WhitneyCatalano.com/join. See you soon.